Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish,
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring! You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome to Pulse of the Nation here in this Halloween week. Our studio is very spookily decorated with cobwebs and skulls, and all I can think is this will be an absolute bugger to clean up. Thankfully, we are just here for the hour. I have no stake in the game for cleaning up the studio, but it is very lovely and spooky. Go have a little watch on YouTube if you fancy having a look at our Halloween decorations. Anyway, point is, we are here with another brilliant show. I've got a fantastic co-host in Alex Kitson. I'll be talking to him in just a moment. As always, we'll be going through the news, seeing what's been happening. Now, I'm a little bit off kilter because we did a pre-record last week and then we missed a week, so I can't remember what I have and haven't ranted about. Just for the sake of continuity, I still hate AI. That's basically what's been on my mind. I just fucking hate AI. Although Boris Johnson, of course.
I love AI. Do you use AI?
Absolutely.
Do you use ChatGPT? Do you love ChatGPT? I love ChatGPT.
He loves ChatGPT. I think next in a couple of weeks when we've got a pre-record, I go into a lot more depth of AI. So we'll leave that there for now. But I do have this on the sound desk as well. I've got two sound desk clips from two differently abhorrent people. First off, we start with Jimmy Carr. Obviously, Jimmy Carr's on everything. It's going to be very hard to say this publicly and then get any sort of job in TV without running into him. But you know, he's a very respected man. He's won lots of awards in comedy, including the 2007 Chortle Award. Comedian most likely to be a praying mantis in disguise. And here's what this horrible insect man had to say about anti-trans activist Graham Linehan.
I fucking love Graham. Because whether you agree with Graham or J.K. Rowling or not, you have to admit, the thing that's in short supply in our society is bravery. And he's a fucking brave guy.
I can let that clip play on if you want, but it's basically just him saying he lost everything for his stance. It's like, yes, he's fucking lost his mind. That's the main thing he lost. He lost his family, yeah, because his wife and kids were like, hey, do you want to spend some time with us rather than bullying people on Twitter? I mean, look, he's not brave. He's deluded. That classic thing comes up of like, oh, you know, brave or foolish. He's foolish. It's not just brave to say horrible things or to say things that are nasty against a group of people. Like, you know, bravery doesn't constitute good, right? It's brave to advocate for the age of consent being lowered to 6. That would be a brave thing to say. Doesn't mean it's a good thing to say. You know, yes, he knew he might go to prison for that string of rape murders, but he did them anyway. Because he's brave. I don't know. I just think that's such bullshit. You can't really truly believe that bravery is good unless you agree with the ideology that Graham Linehan is spouting. So if he's fucking anti-trans, fine, whatever. But sitting on the fence, like, say what you like, but at least he's brave. It's just pathetic. It really is just horrid. No, it's not brave to just go and attack a marginalised group. It's not brave to spout what is basically the law at this point, right? The government is basically following anti-trans rhetoric, is, you know, legislating anti-trans laws. That's not brave, that's the status quo, right? This man is a horrid bully. You know what? I could do this sort of woke, lovely thing of like, do you know what's really brave? Being trans in public. I mean, I do genuinely believe that, but I also don't want to, you know, just sound like an absolute wet wipe. I want to make the point that Jimmy Carr's an absolute wanker, and solidarity to all trans people out there who, you know, have higher rates of murder and sexual assault than pretty much any other demographic in the country and indeed the world. So, actually, you know what? Fine. I'll be a wet wipe. It is brave. Fuck you, Jimmy Carr. Anyway, on to our other wanker of the week. We go to Reform MP Sarah Poachin, who said this.
It drives me mad when I see adverts full of black people, full of Asian people, full of, you know, people that basically are anything.
What's wrong with that, Sarah? What's wrong with that?
Well, it doesn't reflect our society, and I feel that you know, your average white person, average white family is like, I agree with you, Stuart, not represented anymore.
There we go. Sarah Pudgeon, they're one of the four Reform MPs. I just want to reiterate before I actually put the boot into Sarah herself. You know, we cannot consider Reform a new option. They are not refreshing. They're not bringing something new to the table. Most of their councillors, most of their MPs are ex-Tory politicians. They've been in power for 20, 30 years. It's not new. It's not refreshing. The people that are genuinely new in the Reform Party are people like Sarah Pudgeon that say stuff like this. And, of course, the convicted wife beater. But, you know, let's not get into the rest of Reform. Let's just firmly address what Sarah Pochin's there said, that it makes her sick to see black and brown people in adverts because it's not reflective of the UK. Right, first of all, adverts are entirely a money-making exercise. This is the capitalism machine in full effect, right? They only put out adverts that make them the most money. They're not doing it because of some woke agenda. Quite frankly, the profits of massive companies like Tesco do not give a fuck about representation, right? They are allowed to discriminate, in fact. Casting is the only industry where you can discriminate based on appearances and sex and gender and colour. So they are fully within their rights to do whatever they want in their adverts, but they do those adverts because they see the best results, right? They pump billions into research, just research, to find out what is effective advertising. Never mind the billions they actually spend on the adverts. They're not wasting it on tokenism. They're doing this because it makes money. This is free market economics. This is what you fucking love, right? This is capitalism in action. You fucking love it. This is what you advocate for. You say it's not reflective of society, but it is. There are black and brown people all across the country. 82% of the UK population is white. Yes, that is obviously a white majority. But there is another thing to consider, which is, I feel like we strayed a bit from comedy because I'm just on my high horse a little bit here. But Sarah Pudgeon and Jimmy Carr have fucked me off so royally this week. If there is any sort of bias, it's a city bias, right? A lot of media, a lot of TV is made in the cities. The cities are more diverse. Obviously, there's going to be a greater diversity in TV casting and a diversity that doesn't actually even reflect the population density of somewhere like London. Right. Never mind that. Who cares? Who's in the fucking adverts? Oh, I'm not reflected in the Sainsbury's adverts. Even if these numbers stacked up, that there was, you know, a slight percentage discrepancy in the representation of black and brown people in the Sainsbury's advert versus somewhere, who gives a shit? Who's out there going, oh, I can't see myself in a Sainsbury's advert? I tell you what, black and brown people don't broadly care about it. If the adverts were full of white faces, there'd be hardly any, like, backlash genuinely from people of colour because they've got other shit on their mind. They've got other things to worry about than who's, you know, doing the Tesco's Christmas range this year. And if you think about the stats that actually really matter, the halls of power, 86% of MPs are white, 82% of the UK population is white. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty even keel. Right? You're making out that there's some great culture war, race war happening. It's just fucking life. It's just how we're all unfolding. Anyway, I hate Sarah Pudgeon. I hate Jimmy Carr.
I love AI. Do you use AI?
Absolutely.
Do you use ChatGPT? Do you know ChatGPT?
I hate Boris Johnson as well, but mainly I hate AI. So yeah, this is a bit of a ranty week this week of just people I hate. But I'm going to bring in someone I love. Maybe to bring my serotonin up. He looks quite panicked that there's a lot of pressure on his shoulders to.
It was when you went second wanker of the week and then sort of made a slight pivot, and I was like, oh God, what have I done? What recordings he got on his sound desk?
I can't imagine you upsetting anybody, Alex.
Oh, it's happened. Often.
What's the most offensive thing you've ever said?
Most offensive thing I've ever said. I know this is
into
a free
the mic, please.
I know this is a free speech thing, but I. Yeah, uncensored. What's the most thing I've ever upset anyone? You're doing, the problem with doing stand-up comedy is that you play a numbers game.
Yes, yeah. The more
and and then occasionally you can use that numbers game to your advantage. And things that you say as somebody who's clearly. I mean, if you look at it...
Are you doing an ironic twist on something like
I mean, yeah, let's call it that.
But your character...
actual defence of everything.
It was ironic.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what Jimmy was doing, actually.
Ironically.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm trying to come to mind because I try and... That's the sort of thing that would keep me up at night because you don't want to be nasty. Like, what's the point in being... Yeah. Like,
deliberately upsetting someone.
Like, that's what I sort of do. Like, I don't think of myself as the sort of like a completely soft edge comic, but like you want to make people walking out feeling better, not worse. And I think
what's the point of sticking the boot into like a particular demographic or someone like that? Yeah,
even person. Like, I mean, I don't like when people like go and do crowd work and imply that they're
what do you do? You look like a nonce.
And not only that, your penis is small and your job's shit and you're ugly.
Where do you get the jumper? The paedophile shop.
Why are you not laughing?
Exactly, yeah. I totally agree. You just got to be... just niceness is, you know... I mean, nice is a bit of a wishy-washy word, but, you know, just not being a horrible wanker to people. It's so easy to do, really. Well, I was going to say about that Jimmy Carr clip, you reminded me. He's such a proponent of, like, you know, funny's funny. If any, in fact, I think he was quoted this week saying, I don't know, I don't regret anything. I can defend anything as long as it's funny. Where was the funny in that Graham Linehan? I know I cut off early, but it wasn't leading towards a punchline.
I don't know what sort of deal with the devil he did when he had that hair transplant, but like
the devil being Hannah Chambers. Let's not put that out publicly. Well, I have now already. Hannah Chambers is Jimmy Carr's agent. No, just a little joke, a little jibe.
I just sort of surgically removed anything that sort of seemed funny at all. Like, it just absolutely, he seems to have morphed into this.
Somebody made a good point, actually. One of his recent shows, he was making jokes about like little people. Well, I've had it up to here, and then, you know, putting his hand by his knee. Sorry, just watching Alex get his coke stuck in the cobwebs. That was very amusing. That's comedy. Jimmy Carr, get him on the phone. Have a look at that.
I say timeless.
Absolutely classic comedy. Anyway, he was doing these jokes about little people, and it's just like, I've had these in, like, pantos in the 80s and 90s. And even pantos are like, all right, these jokes are a bit tired and offensive now, and he's doing them on his fucking Netflix show.
I would defend, to be honest, probably, depending on what the joke was. But if it was a funny thing and that I don't think was like put out of malice or, you know, all of that, I'd probably end up defending someone doing a joke about, you know, that whole... I do think you could probably joke about most things in a certain way.
I think there are loads of people that, you know, on paper this is offensive, but it is genuinely funny.
Yeah.
And also said with a level of intellect and empathy that it sort of... playing devil's advocate is a bit of a wankerish phrase, but, you know, it's exploring... taboos rather than actually breaking them.
Exactly.
Like people like Finn Taylor, for example.
100%. Like, so brilliant that, like, his bit about, trans people. You go, oh, that's a good...
Yeah.
Like, that's a good bit about... Yeah, about...
I constantly see, like, clips about... Especially, obviously, the trans jokes are obviously the subject of a lot of discussion. But I constantly see clips full of, you know, comments from trans and non-binary folk being like, this is how you do it, this is really funny. And it's just, you know, a person just making a joke, basically at the expense of the trans community, but in a non-horrible way. It's really doable.
Exactly. And I think this is what we find so egregious about someone like Jimmy Carr, is that we go and do the clubs, and we see people do... jokes about all sorts of stuff, and it's absolutely fine because it has to work in the club. Whereas, like, when you're Jimmy Carr and you're performing at, say, I don't know, Riyadh, and and like you don't like you're not playing in front of a proper crowd who are actually like going to give you a fair, like a proper reaction as like the appropriate reaction to your material. Because suddenly they're laughing at the I had it up to here, which is just like, to call it a hack would almost as a disservice to hackery. At least tries to disguise.
Hack is like, there's a bit of fun in hack, you know.
Well, hack's kind of sort of inside, sort of industry sort of phrase almost that you go, sort of go, well, like the general public wouldn't know what hack is, but like the general public can look at that joke and go, surely that.
Come on.
Has been done in the Disney cartoon that we don't let kids watch anymore.
That's insane. One from the Disney vaults, the 1920s classic.
Exactly.
Sarah and the blackface dwarves.
I was listening to that. I was like, we've got to stop complimenting. I don't think bravery. I think it's a vastly overrated concept.
Yeah.
Like, it's much. I think cowardice. It's going to make a comeback.
That is so on brand for you. Obviously, we'll get to know Alex more across the hour, but him advocating for the broad sort of acceptance of cowardice is so on brand for you, I think.
I think it's just depend who you are. And again, not to get too SJW, but I think if you are, like the idea, if you said, oh, here's three adjectives to describe a person approaching you, I think if you said brave white man. I'd be like, right, that, get out of here right now.
It's not going to end up well.
I think, if you call a white guy brave, I think we're in the wrong... That's not great.
Really, you're so right, by the way. We've really opened up a whole... We've not even talked about the news. I've got a whole fucking press release about Jeremy Corbyn being in panto. We'll get to that after the break. Don't you worry, dear listener. But yeah, really, I think brave has lost any sort of excitement. Like, it's not...
I just don't think it's... because what is it? It's a compliment that comes out of, like, when medieval knights... Mm-hmm. where being someone marauding, smashing everything up was seen as a good thing. And I just don't think you should apply that to being on the internet. You're not. You're not on a horse.
Brave on the internet.
I don't think that's. I think that's a contradiction in terms.
And even the secondary meaning of brave just means fat in public. Oh, he's very brave. That's a very.
It's quite passag.
So that, there we go. That's our advocacy for this week is let's end the use of brave.
And unless you are doing it to take down someone who you think's an art. So, like, yeah, Graham, like, oh, God, he's brave, isn't he? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Or, you know, Osama bin Laden, brave, wasn't he? Yeah,
was, you know what? You've got to admire the brass tacks on Osama. He absolutely. He put himself out there.
I'll say this while we're on the subject. The balls on, on John Wayne Gacy to commit those heinous crimes.
Oh dear. Yeah. Right, well, look, we are having a lot of fun. We're going to let that stew over the break. Have a little think. If you want to tweet us or Instagram us and have a go, why not? We welcome it. We're just saying it. We're brave. We'll welcome all of your criticism. You've got 3 minutes to send us a message of hate. That is to me, at Standard Pandrew, at Alex Kitson O.
At Alex Kitson Zero.
Zero, yes. Okay, fair enough. Sorry, let's not get into the... absolutely would be the dullest radio ever to discuss whether O is zero or the letter O. So let's not do that. Let's instead head to the break. Enjoy this brief interruption and we'll be back in just a moment with Alex Kitson.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Pulse of the Nation, and we have not just been confined to the studio this week. No, we've gone to the streets. We've gone into London for the Performative Mail Contest. Yes, I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of Performative Mail. We're going to play a clip at the moment. The lovely FUBAR Socials team headed down to witness the contest. We'll talk a bit more about it afterwards, but have a little listen to us, the FUBAR radio team, down at the Performative Mail Contest in London earlier this week.
I could not be more proud to have a sister, to have a mother, to have a grandmother. I'm proud of them and I hope one day they'll be proud of me.
Today we're here for a performative mail contest hosted by me and the amazing volunteers of photographers.
In 2025, TikTok turned its attention to so-called performative men. He's the guy who pretends to be sensitive, cultured, and respectful of women, reading feminist books in cafes, sipping matcha, and claiming to love underground music.
I've been asked this question quite a lot. So a performative male to me is more about morality rather than looks, ironically. It's someone, preferably a male, who pretends to be to engage in interest in female-dominated hobbies to garner a female audience romantically. So I'm seeing labubus, I'm seeing matchas, I'm seeing books that are related to feminism, and I think I saw tampons.
From my knowledge, a performative male is someone that, like, performs to the female gaze, like, tries to tap into them to be more, what, socially, like, accepted by them.
1963, the first woman went into space. And since then, you have only been doing better and better, so cheer not for us, but for yourselves. Go on.
Want a free book? Someone that reads, like, doesn't read a book, but carries a book like I am, and I don't know if I read through it yet, and loves Biba Doobie, feminist literature. I love Biba Doobie. Do I? I don't know. Let's see. I wish to make my matcha. Oh, I forgot about my Tamagotchi. It's my pet. It's dead. Someone bought a whole vinyl player, so I don't know if I can compete with that, but let's see.
At the end of the day, I think it's just a sense of community. Just all making fun of the same thing and all loving women. What do you say?
I'm Aleksander Twardowski. I'm from Poland. I'm 19. I'm a student in London at UCL right now. And I took part in the performative mail competition right now and won it. How I define it is, it's a man who tries to appeal to women, to the feminine side of women. So we are a man who tries to be as feminine as possible, but not in the way of, I'm going to wear heels and cosplay a woman, like, you know, have a dress, but more like, you know, I'm going to have pimple patches like this, you know, to care about my skincare, you know, listen to, like, slow music that's not usually associated with men, but mostly with women. You try to appeal to the feminine side, try to appeal, like, non-threatening, sensitive, vulnerable, but in reality you're, like, a manipulative man who wants to sleep with women.
So what is it about you today that you think made you win?
The outfit mostly got this. I mean, I got a labubu. I got tampons on me, but I think it's the vinyl player, just the effort of carrying it all this time. But also I have a lot of communist and feminist literature books, so yeah, maybe that.
I want people to laugh about how ridiculous this topic is. Yeah, and just learn how to talk to each other again, because post-COVID, especially young people struggled to like create and cultivate good friendships. So hopefully this will do it, or something similar will do it.
There we go, the screams of women for the most performative males there. Are you familiar with the performative male concept, Alex?
I'm aware. I'm thrilled none of that footage sort of got me on a sly moment, like a sort of to catch a predator style video. But I'm aware of the concept. I think it's very funny, because I'm a straight man, I find the female gaze so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I find it so like
let's get into it.
Well, just out of like, you know, I think I'm sort of very, I think I'm all right sort of seeing things with different people's perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and out of every single possible iteration of that, the one I do struggle the most with is sort of straight women romantically.
Okay, well, here we go. This show, the first half was, you know, pro-trans activism, we hate Jimmy Carr, we hate Sarah Pochin. This section of the show will be, let's get Alex laid. Okay. Right, come on then.
Well, just,
what confuses you? What are you...
I just, like, you know when you have, like, a female friend and you meet their new boyfriend,
yeah,
and
yeah,
you go, oh, that's Shrek. But, well, yeah, but not even, but and people go, oh, but Shrek's hot, and you go, okay, I'm sure, fine. Mm-hmm. And then there's obviously that. I think it'd be very interesting to do that competition not in central London, and to do it so somewhere in, you know, where I'm from, Tiverton, Devon, and see how the performative male changes.
You think you're going to win against these soy boys?
I wouldn't win anywhere. But
you could host infinite number of performative male competitions in an infinite number of locations. That Alex will always
I'll always come last. Yeah, yeah. There's but I don't see many. And again, this is the country side of me coming out. I don't see many. I don't see many big cars.
Big cars.
I don't see much land. Mm. I don't see. To the extent to which that was how ironic he was being up for debate.
Well, here's the thing: is like as everyone says, so the performative aspect is this actually attractive to women seeing this? Mm. Because the thing is, I would assume if I saw somebody doing any of those things that either they were gay or performative. Mm. And I don't think either thing is attractive to most women.
Well, exactly. And then you go like, well, is there someone who is genuinely like, yeah, the levels of like irony and I would love to know, because yeah, he was like the bloke.
I'd love to know what women like.
Yeah, because I was watching that bloke like sort of speaking. I was like, he's hilarious. Like, yeah, that's so funny. And then
he was quite cute as well.
I'm sure
that was absolutely. Can we get that on the sound desk for next week? Is the sound of Alex Gibson trying to react to gay attraction?
Yes, and I think that's fine.
Perfectly legal nowadays.
Yeah, I've heard.
You can say, feel free, be brave, say something contrary.
You know what? There's a lot of things that are legal, aren't there?
Legality doesn't equal morality. I've always said it. You're perfectly fine to steal from Tesco's. Actually, just a little side note here. I forgot this in my opening monologue. Tesco announced profits of £1 billion. That is £1 billion taking away wages of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, for CEOs, taking away millions of pounds of wastage, taking away millions of pounds of, you know, fighting legal cases against them for employment disputes. Plus, the operating cost of Tesco's. You have to think about how large that is. And then their clear profit is £1 billion. These companies making a ridiculous amount of money, you're perfectly allowed to steal from Tesco, is advocated not just by Andrew White, but all here at FUBAR. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, back to the point. This performativism is, you can't quite work out whether you actually meant to do it, or whether you meant to do it ironically, or whether what actually women are looking for.
Well, I think several strands there. I think I think the guy who won it, I'm like, I'd love to know the extent to which, like, you know, when he's not at the competition, what he actually
what's he actually like.
And then when he's sort of putting it on, because you go like, that is almost like character comedy, like that was fantastic.
There was, so obviously you can see the visuals, but yeah, there were people holding vinyl. The guy that mentioned Beeba Doobie, he had a Beeba Doobie CD. It was still in the cellophane. It was very funny. Let's see if you do any of these things then.
Oh, God.
Do you drink matcha?
I know, but I have done.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I don't understand. Yeah. Can we say this?
It is flavourless milk. It's basically, there's like no flavour to it, and it's just milky.
Which is sort of, they've made milk taste odd. And I'm...
Hot take. Clip this up, please, on the socials. Matcha. They've made milk taste odd.
Because there's no way of... what's the way of saying this without getting myself fired? I work in a school with teenage girls, mm-hmm. And I have a DBS, and you can check it. and they were sort of big matcha heads, and they were trying to get me to go. So I went, and then I went and tasted it, and I was like, "This is." I'm really sorry. It's fine.
It's
I don't understand.
Strange and milky, and like you put ice in it, so I think it's watered down as well.
Yeah,
it is like.
And then they said I went to the wrong coffee shop. I went, that can't be the thing. Like it can't be the, you know, whether you go to Blank Street versus if you go to wherever
Joe and Juice or whatever. I honestly think we've come so far as a society globally that if you're eating and drinking something that wouldn't kill a Tudor, you're wasting your life. You're wasting your life. You give that to Henry VIII, he'd be like, a bit bland.
Well, I think what we're coming around to is Henry VIII was born in the wrong era. And like, if he was born now, polyamorous... into matching, like releasing.
He's the ultimate performative male. Absolutely. He'd be reading Michelle Obama autobiographies, I'll tell you that for nothing.
But yeah. He's, chatting about his, you know, not taking breakups well, a la Swift slash.
There you go. This is, I think, you could have said very horrible things. You had the opportunity to slam gay rights, but this might be the most tenuous thing for your career. What do you think of Taylor Swift?
I think she is probably very nice. How many clicks do you want at this show? she's a harlot. She's no.
A harlot? Don't hear that in the word enough. Actually,
you don't. Well, it's no. I think it's one of those things I find very odd about fan culture in politics and pop culture, and always have, is the idea of idolising anyone. Mm-hmm. Because no one... Because always going to let you down. I find this incredibly odd about, sort of, especially politics in the last 10 years, just the idea of someone being like, this is the person, like,
yeah,
this is...
Yeah. And at the moment, it's happening a lot with Zach Polanski. Well, like, I think he is going to be a positive force in
great.
Politics, who's but why are we
absolutely.
Like,
but also,
he's a god?
But also, all the things in the pro column, politician. And you go like that immediately. Like,
ex-Lib Dem politician.
Well, exactly. And you go, the same thing with, Taylor Swift, you go, there's definitely, obviously, you can look at it, you go, oh, well, billions of people love her music. I like some of the stuff that I remember from, like the old stuff from like when I was a kid. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, like from literally like 2008, because my sister had on CD.
Yeah, yeah.
And
OG Taylor Swift, her early discography, I would stand by.
Yeah, I'm absolutely.
Now I think she's like matcha. Yeah. She tastes like funny milk.
Yeah, the slow it's music feels, tastes off. Yeah. Well, yeah. And like, yeah, she lived in the forest for a bit and sort of emailed some plinky plonky stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I wasn't so sure. But I watched the Eras tour. I sat down. This is probably pretty performative. Mm-hmm. But actually it wasn't, because I was by myself. But I watched the Eras tour.
This is your problem with being a performative male, is you have to try it. You just try it in private.
Yeah.
You're getting all of it wrong performatively.
Well, I watched it because I...
What's the Eras tour?
Genuinely, because I mean, this is going to sound even worse. Like, I was looking at all the stuff and being like, oh, the Eras tour, biggest, grossest thing. I was like, oh, this is the most successful entertainment thing, live event ever. Mm-hmm. And I, to a certain extent... put on my own events.
Yeah.
And you go, well, what is the difference between the Eras tour and my stand-up comedy shows in front of maybe sort of these days upwards of three people.
What is the difference between a 15-night run at Wembley and a yurt in an underpass in Edinburgh? Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And legality is sort of the main one. But and I was like, well, you know, maybe I'll you know, put my ego to one side and sort of learn some things about stagecraft. And so I watched it for that. I was like, oh, well, this is what a show. What a show. But I wouldn't then, you know, I don't think that necessarily needs to. I've always found it confusing when that correlates to a change in your personality.
Yes.
Like that's, I really liked Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat when I was a kid. Like that didn't fundamentally alter
my
relationship, my sort of interactions with every human being I meet.
This is the thing, is I'm not the massive anti Swift person. I mean, there's no way to be an ethical billionaire, but that's one thing. But you know, I just don't think there's like a heart to the song that should alter your personality. Like, I think you could read a book or watch a movie or see a show or even listen to music that like switches something in you, that like, oh, there's this aspect of my life that I've been neglecting, or there's this thing. But I've never seen anyone go, oh, Taylor Swift taught me this about myself.
Ooh, yeah, that's not what I mean. It makes you, I think it clearly makes people feel things. It makes people sort of like it evokes emotion. You go, well, that's art, and that's I think it's always very odd to me when you share that with so many people. It's like a global movement, and people sort of only tend to, yeah, these big sort of movements tend to. Whereas, yeah, like if someone was like, it was as equivocal about their support of like Drops of Jupiter by Train, you would assume they were like a lunatic, despite the fact that's a beautiful song. And then you say about the billionaire thing. Yeah, obviously, like the moment you're a billionaire, your life is, and then you see this with comics, you know, and all the time. And I reckon all creators, you go, yeah, your life is not normal anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you're going to lose that connection with. I reckon, you know, the new album, I understand, for Taylor Swift wasn't quite as popular.
Well,
I reckon,
you know,
Jeff Bezos loves it.
There was a very interesting thing that happened where, when it first came out, there was about a week of the sort of wool being lifted from Swiftie's eyes. They're like, it's not that good. Finally, she's lost it. Blah, blah, blah. She needs to break up with Travis Kelce. She can't make things good while she's happy. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, it's mentally healthy things to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, and as always happens, the pushback of people being like, oh, thank goodness we can finally be open and critical about Taylor Swift, created the inverse, where now diehard Swifties are defending it and say, oh, we just need to time it. Now it's grown on us. So I think those sort of battlegrounds have re-established themselves.
But and that's a analogy for every conflict, religious,
yeah.
or otherwise.
You know what?
It genuinely
is true that the more there is pushback to a thing, the more there is support for a thing. Like the entire issue of abortion being so huge in America was entirely born out of pushback, because it wasn't, evangelical Christians were very cagey about abortion pre the 80s. They were like, oh, you know, it's a difficult, controversial topic, it's very personal, it wasn't like the mainstream agenda of we've really going all over the shop, but I think it's quite interesting. I hope so. We've gone from anyway, point is, the there was a sort of a young evangelical filmmaker. He got a bit of funding, he made a few films about like the evangelical Christian view on different topics, and one of them was abortion. And when it first started airing, all of the evangelical Christians were like, we don't, you know, the films are good, but the abortion one, you know, it's very controversial. I don't think people want to talk about that. But they did a screening in New York. A feminist group found out about the screening and picketed the screening. Because of the picketing by the feminist group, evangelicals turned out to defend their own, and then it sort of blew up from there. And the entire, like, mass, like, people have died. You know, obviously, the babies, the innocent children, babies. I'm very pro-life here on this show. No, I'm not. I'm done, obviously. pro-choice, whatever.
You cannot pin this man down.
Yeah,
do not put him in a box.
You go, yeah, I'm slippery, very slippery. I don't know where I stand on things. I was very anti Sarah Poaching earlier, but I'm actually voting reform in the next election. I do live in Portsmouth, which is the largest stronghold of reform membership in the country. Not ideal. Anyway, point is, it's
the
now,
Confederacy,
you know,
of Portsmouth, I think it is. Yeah.
People have murdered both sides of the debate. Have murdered, obviously, more the anti-abortion people have done, like, literal murdering of adult people. And it just blew out of this sort of counter-protest that, like, it wasn't an issue that anyone wanted to talk about. So, yeah, there is a sort of...
It's so interesting, like, how to join a group of people together. The easiest way to do that isn't by finding the things in common, it's to find, like, an enemy.
Yeah,
and
truly,
you have that with, like, this is my... I did the only thing I did in my politics degree was to write the same essay about six times, which was about like how, you know, sort of successful states get built.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you group of people together? You find a common enemy.
Yeah.
And yeah, like the same thing with the Taylor Swift, you find the people who don't like you and go, but that's me. Yeah. Like how dare you? And that's what's the difficulty and why, you know, obviously the difference between how patriotism can often sort of like turn into nationalism is,
yes,
like you go, well, patriotism, yeah, isn't it, things about the UK great, nationalism is everywhere else is worse.
I do think that they've finally landed on a common enemy, and it is immigrants, I think. Yeah. I mean, I know they've been in the firing line for a long time,
and
but
that's why it's the nationalist. Mm-hmm. You find the other, you find the thing to bind a group of people together, to make a strong cohesive unit, you know, whether that's a state, an army, a fan club, comedy club audience, you know, and you find the thing to unite them by saying you hate it, and you do that, and then you can build a sort of not insignificant movement.
Yeah, like, I do hate it. I even just like little things. I saw a TikTok of this person who was doing sort of like airy fairy, like plinky plonky, like love music. I know, like, it was nice enough. I quite enjoyed it actually. But the TikTok promoting it was like, if you're tired of a world full of over sexualized rap, then how about you enjoy this sort of say look? And I was like, why do you have to do that? Like, why can't you just be like, oh, this is my thing, and this is what I love about it, and here's what I think is good. But no,
you get the click, because that doesn't evoke, like, because in a, and again, I'll get on my absolute other spiel about, like, social media and dopamine and stuff. Like, if you want to prompt that reaction or have already prompted that reaction that feeds it to more people and to go viral, you need to create that. The more impetus you can give that action is great. So, like, if you can simultaneously go, oh, I like it. You might like it. Comment very rarely and go, oh, I enjoy this. Keep on going. Like, I love this. What's much more? Yeah, if you could do both.
Yeah.
And go, oh,
I
like
this
thing.
Oh,
and
I hate this.
Yeah, and you hate that. You can hit the both. It's yeah, it's like the kind of food that would kill Henry VIII. It's just so much, and it overwhelms your brain. It feels good.
That's the thing. We're living in a society of just so much.
It's all
overwhelming.
Yeah,
yeah. Although I will say this, and we've been all over the shop. We've gone from Taylor Swift and Marcher to the rise of nationalism, via abortion as well.
I think the term is girl bossing.
We've been girl bossing all over the place in this studio. Yeah. But I will say, just my final thing on dopamine, to bring us down on a more gentle note. Do you get those adverts about dopamine addiction?
Big time.
And they're so boring. Yeah. Like, Christ, if you really want to appeal to people with a dopamine addiction, give us something to cling on to. It's boring, slow AI music.
On.
And it's like, scroll. I don't want to fix this problem.
What, I'm going to stop masturbating to watch this? No.
Exactly.
You kidding me?
Yeah. So, look, who knows where our society is heading, but I think we have landed on broadly the idea that more positivity is a good thing. So, in the next section, we promise to only be positive about anything that comes up.
Dare I say, very performative of you.
Yes, we're going to very performatively be positive. We're going to be toxically positive in the next section, but for now, we've got some interruptions, as we shall call them. We'll see you again in 3 minutes.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation in this spooky Halloween week. We promised to be toxically positive in this section, but we've already hit a stumbling block. I was speaking to Alex about Halloween in the break, and it turns out you don't like Halloween.
I really want to like Halloween. Mm-hmm. I do, because everybody else is having so much fun being spooky. And I just have always... I'm not saying this is with any agenda to convert anyone, because mm-hmm. I appreciate I am in the minority. I think I'm wrong. But like, I don't like spooky things, and I don't like horror films, and I don't like being scared as a concept, and I don't mm-hmm. think we need to like and then October just gets taken over by constant like spooky stuff.
How do you feel about the sort of moving up of Christmas? Because more and more I'm seeing, because my partner loves Halloween, big fan,
yeah,
and we're seeing more and more Halloween stuff like phased out by mid-October, really. The decorations are being taken down before we even hit the 31st, and Christmas is railroading in there.
Well, it's like an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. Like, what is going to win? The clash of the titans of commercialism. And then, I don't know, Valentine's Day around the corner, like, maybe... Yeah, I reckon I'd love to know if someone could find an Easter egg already on sale somewhere.
Oh, yes, that would be fun. That's your challenge to you. If you can find an Easter egg on the shelves of a traditional shop, right? Don't go into some janky corner shop that hasn't removed their Easter egg selection in the last 3 years.
I've not heard before. That's it.
Wow. Oh, I was doing so well right at the final hurdle. Cancel.
He's a mixed bag. Don't put him in a box.
I was telling you earlier, I'm trying out this new personality, which is right bastard. There's a lot of bitchy gays, but they're not a lot of bastard gays.
Absolutely.
I mean, Roy Cohn, and that's about it, really.
We need that, representation of your community.
So more bastards out there.
Absolutely.
The problem is, because most of the bastards I can think of are murderers. Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
I think Roy Cohn is the only non-murderous gay bastard I can think of. Are you familiar with Roy Cohn?
I don't know Roy Cohn.
So he's sort of like this socialite politician behind the scenes in the New York political elite, I guess. He was sort of like Donald Trump's mentor, which is why Donald Trump speaks like a bitchy gay man, because he just hung around all these people. Roy Cohn denied his homosexuality, legislated stuff that was so horrific against gay people, and then he died of AIDS. Lol. No, it was fully deserved. It was no one deserves to die of AIDS, but Roy Cohn did. He was a horrible, rancid man. And there's an old play about him, actually, Angels in America, which is about him in the hospital bed sort of dying of AIDS. And even then, he's still sort of rallying against gay people and people's rights.
That is bitchy.
I think that's a bastard move.
I think there's something... Yeah, I mean, he is bastard. I mean, is it a binary?
I think it is. I think bastard bitch is that. I'm all for gender fluidity, but I do think bastard bitch is a binary.
It's binary, and you must choose, and it is a choice.
No, it really is. Of all the things, it truly is a choice. Yeah. You can live your life however you want to, and I want to live my life like a right bastard.
I'm now picturing like a sort of the four. X and Y axis, like four.
Oh, that sort of libertarian, authoritarian, left and right.
I'm thinking like bitchy bastard, and then also good and evil.
Oh, I was thinking gay straight.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, similar, good and evil. Which way round? You decided, listener. Yeah. If you're homophobic and you're listening to the show, please, we need the numbers. Join us.
So, all homophobic people, putting all gay people on the evil side.
So we're on the gay straight x-axis and the bitch bastard y-axis. Where are you putting yourself in that quadrant?
I think I'm a fairly centrist bitch bastard.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can actually. I probably lean to more towards bitch, actually. I wish I could be more of a channel that about, but I can't get away with it. I can't get away with being a bastard. People don't like it.
Because you're a very gentle, lovely man, Alex. As I was saying to you earlier, I can't imagine you upsetting people. But it is weird if you do ever do transgress, people, and maybe they feel betrayed.
I think so.
You're so lovely.
I think definitely, and yeah, that's fine. I think that I don't mind having a high bar in that regard. I think that does. You know what? The more I talk about it, the more sort of towards the bitchy end of it. I think I'm a bitchy straight.
You're a bitchy straight. I can see that for you. We've had a good bitch in the past.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got that in you for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm a right bastard, and I was talking about Halloween. I've completely lost my thread here. You don't like being spooked and scared.
Well, I don't like being spooked and scared, and I think that it's. I find it odd, again, that everyone seems to love that so much. And then also the idea of the Halloween party.
Mm-hmm. Is a lot of admin and logistics that I don't enjoy.
Costuming,
like,
costume.
I don't know if you can tell by, you know, what I'm currently wearing, but I'm absolutely sartorially disgraceful.
I would say, actually, I've seen much worse from you. This is pretty decent. I don't know.
I've dressed up. So, FUBAR Radio, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You're in this Quarterzip. What's that brand again?
I think it's Quicksilver.
That's it. Quicksilver Quarterzip. With actually a very lovely design, a sort of wallpapery flourish.
It's very nice if you don't look too nice close. You can see all the stains and the holes in it. But the cords I wear every day, because I don't like deciding. I read a thing about Obama years ago. Being
I know where you're going with this.
He has one type of suit, so he has one less decision to make. And I aged sort of 20, like barely doing a degree, and writing student sketch comedy, was like, hey, I've got a lot on. Me and Obama, you know, I reckon I can take that on. So I have, for about the last 10 years, have only gone one pair of trousers as a sort of one type of trousers, and I do that, and I've got some shoes on, which I'm looking at now. I had a nosebleed a couple of months ago, and I meant to, some blood fell on it, and I meant to clean them, and I haven't.
Do you know what? It's so funny. You see someone walk down the street with blood in their shoes. Like, oh fucking hell, who have they beaten up? Alex Kitson had a nosebleed.
Yeah, Kitson got stressed in the tube.
It's stressful out there. Hey, look, up the Northern Line's very loud, and there's lots of people around.
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't you worry, mate. I understand. 100%.
And then a bigger boy got on.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm totally seeing why you can't be spooked and scared in Halloween.
Exactly.
What about, because there is a gentler side to Halloween as well. Like, I've got my little pumpkin earrings on. Yes. Do you like pumpkin carving and stuff like that?
I think that's a lovely, and I think, again, these are all things I'm like so pro people having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, it just hits a lot of the things that I are not my things that I do to, like, my, for me, it's not, I don't find it very, and again, I know this is just me, and it's just something I don't understand, like the idea of going and being like, okay, what am I going to wear in 3 weeks? I'm going to go and buy a thing and then make it. And then I'm going to spend hours getting all ready to walk into a party and then just be too hot all the time.
I do agree with you to a certain extent. I mean, I don't mind it so much. I'm not a massive fan. We went to some scare mazes, and me and my partner went round, and we were talking about a comedian that did Britain's Got Talent, and the audition went very, very badly, and they emailed the producers and said, if you air that, I will kill myself. And we were like, what an amazing tactic.
I've heard that's been, I don't necessarily know that. I've heard that as the tactic.
Yeah.
If you don't want your Britain's Got Talent audition to be aired.
Threaten a classic suey. Yeah. Anyway, we were like,
send in a suey,
We send in a suey. We were talking about that, and then we were going around the maze, and a life-size porcelain doll head, which was really fucking freaky, jumped out, and my partner just went, I'll kill myself. And that scare actor was not ready for it. Absolutely just backed away, like, okay, yeah, I do not want to be in that note.
You know what? I'm going to, that's a nice little sort of tactic.
Keep that in your back pocket.
Yeah, it's just any single time anything at all, like, affects you negatively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's there. It's ready on the tip of your tongue.
Train inspectors on the train.
Oh, you know what, though?
Have you got a rail card? I will kill
Let's
myself.
Give them their proper title. Let's give them their proper title. Revenue Protection Officers.
Yes.
Go fuck yourself, South Western Railway. I do not care about your revenue. All right, anyway. We've really failed at this toxically positive stuff.
Yes.
I do agree with you to a certain extent. There's aspects I like and don't like. I'm more of a neutral on Halloween.
I'm being positive about it, as opposed to other years where I would have been like, boo, 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 everyone else is wrong. I'm like, I am wrong on this.
Fair.
And that, I think, is, you know, and I'm gaslighting myself, and that's toxically positive.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a real primitive male over here.
I think women are queens, I think.
Yeah, let's close the gender pay gap, actually.
Yeah, that time.
From Halloween to Christmas, let's very quickly cover this. Jeremy Corbyn is going to make his cameo in a Wicked-inspired drag pantomime. Jeremy Corbyn will be playing the wizard in a gloriously camp pantomime at the Pleasance Theatre just next door.
Oh!
I assume he'll be doing a pre-recorded voice. I don't think Jeremy's turning up every day for the whole Christmas run. Are you a big fan of pantomime?
I really want to come across as a nice, positive man. No. I went to go see a... I think I understand... For kids, absolutely. Kids theatre, and I know it basically funds every theatre in the country as well. So, like, yeah, absolutely. Going on to the Panto, I will absolutely, I won't be going. But and then again, I'm a childless man in my 20s. I think it'd be creepy.
If I was there,
sort of elbowing them out to get the sweets that they throw in the crowd and all that.
But they don't do that anymore because it helps the safety.
Oh, do they not?
Mad.
Oh, yeah. It's but I, you know, I mean, yeah, pro Panto. I went to go watch the only thing I've ever walked out of, ever.
Yeah. You have to tell me the title and then we have to end the show. Did you walk out of?
Oh, I walked out of the University of Bristol Pantomime Society. I'm Peter Panto because it was absolutely appalling and I hated it.
There you go. I'm going to talk to Alex now about that because that sounds very, very interesting. Look, the time has whizzed past. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again next week for Pulse of the Nation. Bye.
Foo Bar Radio.